Hey guys, awesome episode. Today we talk relationship double standards and breast reductions. Check it out, enjoy, share with friends. Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Free, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. That's right. We're here, Feather Nation Studios. The crowd is rambunctious today. A lot of energy. Love it. Love it. They're playing the horns. They're clapping their hands. It is wild here. And listen, it feels good. Nothing makes me feel better than when I see the line outside of Feather Studios waiting to get in. The dogs, the people, the air horns, the signs, right? It's crazy.
It's wild to see every time.
Every time. The toughest ticket in town is to get into Feather Studios. And I got to say, it feels good. You know what it feels like? It feels like when you guys post about the J Train Podcast on your Instagram stories, if those feel very similar, it's like I'm out in a forest, okay? And as I'm walking through the forest, I keep taking off articles of clothing and leaving them just along the trail. A t-shirt there, a sock there, my pants there. And now I'm just in my underwear, and I slip those off too. And now I'm just walking naked in the forest. And all of a sudden, I decide I want to see what it looks like above the tree line. So I go up the mountain. And now I'm climbing the mountain completely naked. And I get to the top, and there's a bird. Yeah, you hear it. Do you hear it? Yeah, that's the bird. And that bird comes up to me, and I say, "Hi, little bird." And then I turn around, and the bird starts flip-flapping its little wings right against my ball sack. That's what it, just flippy-flap right on the edge of my seam, right back and forth, feeling my ball sack. And it feels good. Oh, and there's a bee comes by, and he flaps his wings against my balls. That's what it feels like, people, when you guys make it your Instagram stories. Tag a bitch. Let people know when you rate, review, subscribe. That's what it feels like. It feels like you're tickling my nuts with your metaphorical pet taggings, okay? And that's what it feels like when you guys come to Feather Studios and when you tag a bitch and when you tell a friend. And I can feel it every summer, Shelby.
Yep.
And that's me howling at the moon when I eventually come. Every summer, it feels like we get a bump in listeners. It feels like summertime's the right time for the podcaster.
You're at the pool, you know, maybe you don't want to listen to music all the time.
No. You don't need Ariana. You need J Train. And that's the thing. Every summer, people don't expect this to be the thing, but you need a podcast. You need Papa JT. You need the Wizard of Weddings, the King of Brunch, the Sultan of Swipes, the mother, the Master of Moms. You need me, Wizard of Haas.
What is it? The Police of Plains.
The Duke of Delta. That's me. Okay?
The Order of Overhead and Compartments.
The Order of Overhead Compartments. A mouthful, but it is what people call me. Mm-hmm. So I need you guys to keep spreading the word because it's the lonely season. By the beach, by the pool, at the gym, long road trips, podcasts. Give the gift to J Train. Very excited about today's guest. An OKP throughout the years. Original key player. But you know, one of our best guests, and every time you're back, I really get a smile comes to my face. Michael Somerville, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, man.
It's great guest alert.
Such a pleasure.
It's been too long.
It's been way too long. But you you know, you travel this world. I mean, you are up and down this great country of ours, traveling for stand-up. I mean, where... And now you're kind of like you're taking, you're sticking to New York a little bit.
I am, yeah. Well, first of all, you also are now traveling wildly,
I know,
so congratulations.
I think of you all the time. I'm like, I don't know how you did it, but you know what it's like that when you become, when you travel a lot, you become like an airplane snob a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. People don't know what they're doing.
They don't know what they're doing, but here's the thing. They act like they think they know what they're doing, and that's the problem. It's like everyone flies, but then they assume that they're confidently acting stupid. That's the problem.
Absolutely. No,
you're in my house.
Exactly. I was behind a lady last week, and it was the first time she'd been on a plane with her family, first time in 10 years, clearly, on vacation, and she was like trying to run the plane. It's like, this is not your house.
Yeah, no. That bothers me more than anyone.
Yeah.
That, to me, it's like, if you're not going through TSA pre at the speed at which I'm going through, you need to quiet down.
Absolutely.
You need to not look me in the eye.
I was at LaGuardia for this. It's funny you should say it. And this woman, all right, little older woman before me, TSA, no one else. It's just her and then me, one single line. And she's fidgeting with the bed before you go through the conveyor belt. Fidgeting with the
my God.
Looking, do I take a... can I put the lap... Can I?
No. She should be kicked out and then beheaded in front of everyone.
From 5 yards deep, I take my bag and I just... whoosh,
throw it through.
Beat it past her on the thing.
Yes. I do believe that TSA... I've been trying to do a joke about this for like now a year. But like TSA pre... The requirements aren't enough to get it.
Agreed.
It should be higher.
It's 85 bucks. That's all you got to do is pay.
85 bucks in one interview for 15 minutes.
There should be an obstacle course.
Obstacle course. This is what I'm saying. You should have to get through an obstacle course in under a certain amount of time. Because then you can't say it's ageist, because then it's young kids, old kids. Also, and part of the obstacle course, I could even do the events. It should be picking up the bag, putting it on the thing.
Absolutely.
Then it should be a period where you have to take your the ticket on your phone. That's included in it.
Absolutely.
Where you have to put it through the infrared thing. If it takes you longer than 10 minutes, out of here.
Absolutely.
Out of here. I would be kicking. There would be well able bodied people that I go, well, they'd be like, listen, I got to go in for my third obstacle course.
Right.
Like the driving exam.
Like passing the bar or something.
Exactly.
It should be hard.
It should be difficult. I should be in line with people, and we should all have tattoos that say TSA pre on it so that we all know that we went through the same, like Army Rangers.
Exactly.
We should be at the same level of nodding.
Fraternity
like,
of
yes.
people. I could not agree more.
And it bothers me that we've let anyone in, and they're just, I had one guy in front of me once, he started taking off his shoes, and I was like, and I go, you don't have to take, like, I can't help myself now. I go, you don't have to take it off.
Yeah.
The shoes. And he goes, he looks at me, he goes, they go off all the time when we're going through the x-ray.
Yeah.
And I go, so why would you wear those shoes?
Why you keep wearing them?
Yeah. You know, and then he looked at me like, who the fuck are you? Why am I talking to you?
Yeah.
You know,
and if you had a TSA veteran tattoo, he wouldn't question
right.
you. Yes.
That's right. If I had my I would just show the tattoo and I go.
Absolutely.
You know, come on. I'm a TSA I'm a pre-boy. So you know what it's like to get annoyed
man.
At people. So, I mean, so now you're so I want to tell people a little. Can I tell the story
a
little bit?
Tell anything you want.
So I'm secondhand. Maybe I've imagined this. You're dating someone now. How long have you guys been together?
Over a year. We met last May, so it's over just a year and a little more now.
How did you meet?
We met on Bumble because of
Bumble.
J-Train.
Because of Papa JT.
100% true.
That's right, people.
100% true.
This podcast comes with results. So explain that. How did that happen?
So I've been traveling a bunch, and I was having trouble, you know.
And listen, sorry to interrupt, but like Michael Somerville travels everywhere, a fantastic comic. All of you guys should be following him at Michael Somerville on Instagram. He also has 4 albums out. You were on Letterman like 7 times.
Well, 4, but 8 if you count reruns.
So 8 times. Letterman is the, you know, one of the pinnacle resume items of comedians. Like,
used to be,
you know, but still, this is I hold you in very high regard.
Well, I appreciate that.
To hear that I could help a little bit with your love life,
dude,
you know, makes me feel you know, that feathers my nuts.
You were the
That's
cute.
Me out on the fucking mountain with the with the bird,
the bird
on my nuts.
Yeah,
you're the bird.
I was a little worried I was the bird in that scenario when you were telling it.
You're the bird now, baby. So explain, you're on the road a bunch.
Traveling a ton, never home. Never really a big, like, hookup guy. Like, it wasn't like, let's go on the apps when I'm in Chicago for four days, you know, that kind of thing. But I, you know, lonely. I mean, come home for 8 days, four days, 6 days, whatever it was.
It's tough to start a relationship that way.
Very difficult. You know, you're just not around. And people are like, oh, it's fun, it's cool. Yeah, he's a comedian. That's attractive initially.
Sure.
But then, you know, where are you again? You're never going to be home Saturday, that kind of stuff.
The realities of it sink in.
Yeah.
Especially when you're really trying to date someone and get to know someone.
It'll be really nice. Yeah. And I'm getting a little older, you know. It's like, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind some other things in life. For the first part of my career, 10, 12 years, you just like nothing but comedy. If you can't fit into that, sorry, see you later.
Sure.
I mean, it's about me and my career, and I'm not, you know, slowing down if you want to keep up when I'm available. But then, you know, you say, oh, man, there's got to be more to life.
Yeah.
So thanks to you, I was a big fan of the J Train Omelet Hour. Yeah. I will listen and watch
J Train Omelet Hour. Every morning I would flip an egg. Some people are new to that. That was even recently. I miss it too. Maybe I'll start making some eggs.
I really do miss it. Yeah, yeah. I was almost going to do a post the other day, like an homage to you. I was going to do it like, this is, you know, throwback to JJ. Anyway, so I, you know, I hear you talking about Bumble.
Yeah.
And part of it was from your act. You were describing the different apps and different everything. And Bumble, when the woman reaches out first, that's the thing. And I was like, well, that sounds kind of nice because I don't want to compete with all these dudes who are just accosting women or trying to like approach it. It sounds like maybe.
And I've said this about Bumble was I do believe it's better for men.
I think you said they sleep with you quickly, except you used a different word.
I will say that I think Bumble plays to a man's laziness better.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, men are like dogs. We'll eat ourselves to death. So on Tinder, where you could say hi to a million different people,
right?
You're only going to talk to the people that talk to you on Bumble. So what you're saying about like, if they're not, so there's some protection in Bumble for women where it's like, hey, you're not going to get a message from every guy you interact, have matched with. The other, the issue with it, and it's not an issue with you because you're coming on there honestly saying, I'm really looking to meet someone.
Right, right.
Is the people that are like, they're the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Absolutely.
Where they're like, I'm really here to meet someone. Then they talk to them and it's like, oh, now you've been the one to make, like the woman's on the side of having to make this whole thing happen.
Exactly.
And they've like walked into their own, a trap of their own making.
That makes complete sense. And I think, you know, I laughed when you did the material about it.
Yeah.
And I do agree with you. I think that's like, oh, well, yeah, I'm the safe guy. I'm the, oh, come on in. Here we go.
Sure.
And kaboom. Yeah. And that was, you know, comedically and truthfully, I think you're right. But for me, like you say, my purpose is I was like, I'm really like, I'm a nice guy. And, you know, let's be honest. I'm not Brad Pitt. I'm not going to like, you're not going to put my face on
the
Twitter.
The name of Michael Somerville's album is not Model Hot, by the way.
So you can
find that on all streaming services. Not Model Hot. And you should all listen to the album. I always say podcasts and comedy albums are like cousins, like peanut butter and jelly. Very complimentary goods.
Yeah.
You're dumb. You're tired of my dumb voice. Go listen to Michael Somerville. He's a fantastic comic. Not Model Hot. Not Model Hot. Go search it on Apple Music, all the streaming services, Spotify, Pandora. Go get it. So you're on Bumble.
So yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, you're not going to put a picture of me on like Tinder and get a million swipes. Like I'm more of a like, I want a girl to kind of like me and you know, kind of reach out
and say, this is the type I'm looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
We've said on a line of this podcast I use all the time is there are people, you're someone's foot. There's people on YouPorn masturbating to feet.
Ah, yes.
So there's somebody into everything.
That's a great point.
You're somebody's foot.
I am the left toe.
Yes.
I am. So exactly. So I said, you know, I'm going to try that. And I was home one night and I had, you know, uploaded the app and looked around and then nothing. And this, it just, you know, one Friday night, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm just going to go on and see. I'm bored. I'm lonely.
Give it a shot.
Been home for 2-3 days. I'm home for maybe another week or two, whatever. And sure enough, man, this woman, my now girlfriend, lived down the street from me for 10 years. 10 years we lived down the street from each other. Both went to the University of Notre Dame. Granted, at different times,
sure,
she was younger.
That is, connective as it gets.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, went to the
like
same
experience,
gym,
yeah,
went to the same supermarket. Yep. Never would have met if I didn't lie about my age on Bumble.
Really? Okay. Sometimes lying is good. Okay.
Which is, I like to say, I call it destiny. She says it's a relationship built on lies.
Yeah.
I had, and in fairness, in a quick defense, because I know she's listening to this. She's a huge fan, by the way, still.
Get to that part.
Which part? Which part?
Well, she was a fan of the show.
She's a huge fan of the show. She listens all the time.
Great.
We swiped that. Now, to this day, I came into my apartment the other day, and I hear your voice coming from the bedroom, and I was like, what the hell's going on?
We've been dating for a while. I actually brought you on to let you know. She's not just a fan of the podcast.
Why is J-Train in my bedroom screaming, Luke P, Luke P?
This is amazing. Yeah.
So yeah, man. So she right away she reaches out, gives the old go Irish, and you say right away you got a connection. Oh, we cut through a lot of the BS,
lot
of the online who is this crazy person thing. I happened to be at the Comedy Cellar that night.
Yeah.
But funny enough, we just recently found. She's like, did you ever delete the app? I was like, I thought we both agreed to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But she's like, we might have deleted it. We might not have deactivated.
This is a huge issue. I've gotten in this argument before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she just decides to open her the other, like, download it again, the app, and look, it's now a year later. We lived together since January, the whole thing. And
living together.
Living
that's
together.
Right, people. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending those emails. You know where to get the good info.
6 months it took us before we moved in together.
Love
thanks
it.
To the J-Train. And
so she, like, had heard you on the show, or, like...
Didn't know who I was, but saw Notre Dame, saw a comedian, goes, oh, that sounds fun and different.
Sure.
You know, she works for, like, an accounting auditing firm. So yeah, it sounds fun and different. What, you know, this sounds great. But, and knew the Comedy Cellar, lived right by the club, the whole thing. So, yeah, that was part of her social life in New York. Yo,
sure.
Comedy Cellar, great place. So literally we go back, we upload the app again to her phone. This is, like, literally a week ago. And all of a sudden, our exchange, our very first exchange is still there in her thing. And it was unbelievable to read because I literally, like, within three exchanges, I invited her to come to the show that night at the Comedy
Hilarious.
Cellar. I was like, how desperate was I?
Get over here now. You like Notre Dame? You're in.
Literally.
But a lot of the stuff we talk about on the podcast, you know, where, you know, girls are like, well, I've been messing someone for months. And it's like, you right away, you were like, there's a connection. It doesn't take a lot.
Right.
You know, people say, well, you know, people write boring things. And it's like, well, no, you guys wrote things that were like, you know, pretty standard. Hey, go Irish. Where do you know? And then you go, hey, this, I see it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you go, come to the show. I'm going to be out tonight.
Well, I think that was my, like, in my mind, it was like, yeah, we're clearly, like, we can cut through the BS. We know each other. You probably, you know, we have mutual friends. Turns out we didn't because she's 12 years younger than me. But that said, but yeah, like, that's, reading it again, I go, oh, man, I did awfully quickly.
That's okay. That's what it's all about. And now you're living together.
We're living together. Well, she writes back, no, she's got, I got dinner plans.
Okay.
It was the first negative in the exchange. I was like, oh, I thought we had a good thing here.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm supposed to have dinner with my friends, blah, 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 you know, maybe.
Love it. She's got standards.
Pushed right back. It's like, no thanks, see you later. So I get real, like, in my mind, like, oh, all right, fine. Going to go to the Comedy Cellar and just whatever, do my night.
Sure.
She's like, maybe text me later. Whatevs, you know.
Yeah.
That whole thing. I go through the night. We're sitting in the Fat Black.
We were sitting together.
Comics table, the whole thing. I was all excited. And out of nowhere, she texts me. It's about 11 at night. And she's like, hey, what are you up to? And I get so excited. I wrote her back within a second. You're like, oh, hey. And like an idiot, I go, why don't you meet me at the Four Face Liar bar there? Are we allowed to say places?
Yeah.
Or, okay,
go here,
yeah.
Listen.
So
meet me. Liar,
why don't you go, you know, meet me up for a drink, this and that. And Greer Barnes, great comedian, is there. Mm-hmm. Goes, are you out of your mind? You are in your castle on your throne right now. You bring the woman here. You are in a comedy club at the Comics Table, the best club on the planet.
I love
free
that.
Free drinks. The whole, you're not leaving. You're nothing out there.
You're a loser. You're nothing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I changed it on the fly. Oh, never mind. Abort. You know, come. Can you come to the And then I try to do this whole smooth cat thing. I go, you just drop my name at the door. It's a Friday night, but you drop my name with the bouncers and say you're
good.
Well.
You're good. I got
table.
You.
And she's like, I am not doing any of that, but I'll come over for a drink.
Sure. And I think I was there.
You were there that night. You were there.
Yeah.
Greer was there. I mean, it was a great night.
It was a good hang.
Yeah. But, so anyway, she shows up. She brings her two friends from dinner because she doesn't even know what I'm getting into here. Why don't you guys come scout it out?
I love it. This is all like J-Train approved moves you did. And her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She, because from her side, I got dinner. I'm not like just changing my plans for some nice guy exactly. I met on Bumble. Then, hey, then she was open enough to come that night. She didn't say, well, I only go if I have a date and there's a,
exactly.
you know, the king's henchman comes and brings a letter from God. Like, she didn't
Three
do that.
3 weeks in advance.
Yeah,
that. No,
she
by.
Was like, I'll stop by. Brought a couple friends. I always say friends. Bring friends, especially yep. make it happen quick. And then you guys were able to talk and see if there was really something there.
That's exactly
And that's
right.
in a lot
you
of
you
these-
know pretty quickly.
You know pretty quickly. And also, none of us, we live in an era, tapas generation. We don't want to waste time.
Right.
We want to try a little bit of everything and then see what we want for good.
Right,
and
right.
it's like,
tapas,
yeah. So it's like the idea that you guys, you know, and I we on the other podcast on You Up, we had a anthropologist on,
oh, wow.
Dr. Fisher, and she called the dating apps introduction apps, and I love that
I like
because
that. Yeah.
that's what it was for you.
Exactly.
You guys got introduced.
Exactly.
Then even that night, it wasn't your first, that's not your first date. You
right.
wouldn't count that as your first, you'd say, that was the first time we really met.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
And
exactly.
then you would go, then you guys went on dates. Now you're living together.
Now we're living
so, like,
together.
I love that. I'm so happy for you. And,
yeah.
and how's the living with your girl? I mean, is it,
it's
you're, you know, I see a lot of myself in you. I'm like, man, you know, you're traveling all the time. Now you gotta, you have a whole different lifestyle. You gotta get used to
whole different lifestyle. And that's right. You, by the
I'm
way, have
traveling and doing all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, it's been wild because I had been trying for a little while to be home more in general. The,
uh-huh.
I was on the road 300 days a year. It was exhausting.
300. People don't realize how many days that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
you're home 5 days a month. That's what it was. I did
that's
my taxes.
Crazy.
I was home for 5 days a
and,
month.
And when you're home, you don't really get to do. You know. Like, I just got home today, and I'm like, okay, I got, like, a couple bills I have to pay. I got to get my – and then I got to get doing The Bachelor tonight.
Right.
You know, like
right. –
you know, like
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is,
I got
yeah.
work to do.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're packing. When's your next thing? When's your, do I have no groceries so that
yeah.
I just order a pizza?
It's on that
just,
note, Seattle. I'm there tonight. Seattle. Come to the shows. 4 shows. Seattle. JaredFried.com. Buy those tickets now. Seattle. I'm here. 4 shows. If you're listening to it in the area and you're not coming, you're wrong. Bring a crew. Yeah. Hit that bell, Shelby. Bring a crew. But, you know, just like you're saying, it's tough. And then you get back and then you're off to the next place.
Exactly. So you're not a person. You feel like you're just living out of a bag. You're never home. There's not, so I've been working to stay home saying I need to arrange something or just put more money away so I can somehow be, you know, more of a human being.
Yeah.
Then boom, talk about 180. I go from road 300 days a year to having a girlfriend. I hadn't had a girlfriend in 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, I had just been like, I think I'm going to be single for the rest of my life.
Sure.
All of a sudden, girlfriend. I like her so much. It's like, I'd like to maybe live with you. Where our lease is happening to be ending. Not that that's a reason to move in, but it, like the timing was such. It's like, what if we just tried it?
And what, she was cool?
She
down?
Was cool. She was
yeah.
like, yeah, she's kind of the same place. She's like, I don't know. But yeah, it sounds like it was really smooth. It was
yeah.
none of it felt like this is crazy. We're taking a leap. We were both like, yeah, none of it.
We're
it,
enjoying each other. This
yeah.
is a logical next step.
It, that's
yeah,
exactly
yeah,
what
yeah.
it felt like. It felt like
yeah.
it felt very logical. And so now I've been home all summer. I've been home for 2 months. I haven't
not normal. Normal for you, yeah.
Not normal at all. I have a girlfriend, not normal for
yeah.
me. I live in a nice apartment, not normal
yeah,
for me. My
yeah.
old apartment, my bathroom was in the hallway. It wasn't in the apartment. And all of a sudden, man, we got plumbing.
You went
we
from
got
shitting in the hallway to living with a beautiful woman.
I got this. It's really, I got internet. I got cable.
you're talking like an 18-year-old in his first dorm room in college. We got internet. They feed us. I got my own TV.
Yeah,
this is great. I'm happy for you.
I appreciate it. You caused it. You are the Cupid behind all of this.
I got a couple of kids out there, not by my own making, but by you know the Cupid, you know J Cupes.
That's J.
And I'm happy to add you to that list. I hope for the best, and I to keep going. What I need everyone listening to do, you got to support Michael Somerville right now. Because this is our relationship. This is not just my relationship. This is our relationship.
Okay.
The whole J Train podcast listenership is now owns a part of your relationship.
They're all investors.
We're all investors.
Like a stock.
And if you're going to invest, what I need you to do is go listen to this album. It's fucking fantastic. Not Model Material. Not Model Hot.
Yep.
Not Model Hot. And it's Michael Somerville. Somerville. Go go search Michael Somerville on all the listening platforms. And what I need you to do on Pandora or Spotify, like him as an artist. Put him in your queue.
Please.
That gets, for comedians, it's a free way to pay us.
That's right.
And I know I talk about payment a lot in ways that you don't think of as payment, that comedians think of as payment. When you tag someone on my Instagram, I consider that payment. When you like my stuff, I consider that payment. When you go on Pandora and you search Michael Somerville, who has four, not one, not two, four albums on Apple iTunes, you're already paying what, at the $9 a month or whatever you pay your premium app, right, or even if it's a free, you're doing the free version. Fuck. You're paying these artists in a way you don't understand, because Michael Somerville is paid by SiriusXM and paid by, you know, the Sound Exchange. And there's ways that you guys don't even know. You know your business. I'm telling you a little bit about our business. And the way to help right now, Michael Somerville, who has four fantastic albums, you got to go follow him on Instagram and go search him out on all these platforms. And you're going to see it on my Instagram stories, all that stuff. Let's do some emails. You ready?
Absolutely.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Dealing with double standards. JTrain, Shelby, and guests. Love the podcast. Relatively new listener. I've subscribed, paid. I have been listening to them backwards. I'm somewhere in 2016 now. She might be airing a year episode. It's been great listening to you then versus now. Keep up the good work. I really appreciate that. I've heard from a few people every now and again going back through the backlogs. Wow, what a journey you are taking. I was dating a guy I matched with on Bumble. Not rating him, but he's cute. Okay. Everything was good. Well, going well. We were going out, hanging out a lot. Few dates in, guessing around date five, we deleted our Bumble profiles together. His prompt, not mine. To get to that, you talked about deleting Bumble. I had someone message my girlfriend saying, just saw Jared on so-and-so app.
Oh, wow.
Stop snitching.
That, you know, the snitches get stitches. And it's the one, and what happens is, deleting the app is not deactivating the account.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Right.
You can go into, like, you have to, it's like leaving Facebook.
Right.
You don't just delete the Facebook app. You have to go in and, like, go through the
process.
The process.
Yes.
And I didn't do that for one of the apps I had on my phone.
Right.
And the worst feeling in the world is when you get caught doing something you weren't doing.
Yep, yep.
You know, yep. Like, because immediately I sounded like I was guilty. I was like, oh, no, I started explaining. Oh, I deleted the app. You know, the way I'm explaining it is just, I look like a liar.
Right, right.
And I'm going, look at my phone. Look at my phone. It's like, yeah, that's what a fucking liar says.
Exactly,
you know, like,
exactly, yeah.
So I do understand how tough that is, but I it can happen both ways. I figured he'd break it off. Things were going great until I started to get a weird vibe from him. I figured he'd break it off that next date, and I wasn't far off. He said he wasn't feeling the connection and that we moved too quick, too fast. He also mentioned if we continued seeing each other, it would kind of have to be casual and only for sex. I told him that I would have been fine with something more casual if it had started out that way. In the end, I wished him well. It just wasn't a match. Then he texted me again weeks later after I had time to get out. At time to go out with friends and guys for dates, attaches a screenshot of the last bit of our back and forth. So I'll read their text. She wrote, so we're not meeting tomorrow then? And then he writes, I don't think you should meet me. Save yourself the disappointment. Why would I be disappointed? He writes, because I can't commit and I'm looking for sex primarily, but you're past us ever being just a fling. Then she writes back, the only reason I said yes to hanging out is because I'd basically be scratching that entire thing earlier. Problem is that all of our rapport is gone, too. So you'd have to go from scratch like the others I'm vetting. So if you're fine with starting over and fine with knowing you're not the only guy I'll be sleeping with, there's no issues on either side, is what she wrote.
Good for her.
Good for her. I do. When it's put that way, I guess it's an issue for me, he writes.
Good for her.
Okay. Well, she also like fished him out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she writes, okay, well, if we're done here, can you please delete my number as well?
Oh, man.
She writes, I feel like I really dodged a bullet with this one. But this isn't the first time I've come across the double standard or rewriting the contract if a guy has decided to upgrade or downgrade the relationship. How do I avoid this or at least communicate with other guys that if we're casual, that means both of us and things, that means both of us. And if things have changed, he's not the only one who gets to make changes. What do you think?
Man, I'm impressed with her. I think she did what she's talking about. How did she do it? She did it. She was having a good time, right? And then he changed gears and said, you know, no, just want sex. He was totally trying to just, you know, trick her into, or not trick her, but like, okay, get her to agree to his little setup.
Sure. Maybe he wanted the setup to be, I get to be casual with you while you are with me.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And boom, she cut that right off.
And she,
no guy wants to hear that.
No guy wants to hear that, but you know what? The problem I have, and it comes, sometimes the answers are in these emails.
Yeah.
She wrote something very specific, and then it goes back to her text. She wrote, she goes, things were going great until I started to get a weird vibe from him. I figured he'd break it off the next date. Why are you going on a date with a guy that you're waiting to get dumped by?
Yeah.
Right? Why are you going out? And you know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, where do you come in on this decision?
Well,
you're just going to go out. Like, I don't go run to my own beheading.
Right. But it sounds like, given her email or the nature of it, maybe she's seen this before. She's like,
yeah, well, then she writes,
happened before.
Another thing, he wasn't feeling a connection, moved too quick. He also mentioned if we continue seeing each other, I would have to be casual and only for sex. I told him that I'd be fine with something more casual. If it had started out that way, I don't know if that's how it, you know, everything starts out as casual. I know they started dating, but like, you know, you're kind of making him, you're backtracking to a point that doesn't really exist.
Right. But to me, that means, I take it as like they met, they seemed to really have a thing. It started well. Maybe they went out on a date or did like a drink. Like they didn't just get drunk and hook up for 3 days the first four times they saw each other. Maybe.
Yeah.
To me, that sounds like maybe that sounded or felt like there's potential. But all of a sudden he pulled the rug.
But to me, that sounds like someone in both of those cases where she writes, and listen, I'm not doubting that he's, has double standards.
Right.
I'm not saying that he wasn't. I'm with you where it's like you fished it out. You found out the answer.
Right,
good.
Right.
Good for you.
Right.
But we can't change other people. She's asking, why am I running into this scenario?
Right.
So it's like, okay, let me tell you a few things about you, Miss Emailer.
Right.
You wrote to me saying, you seem to be putting the standards of a relationship in the other person's hands.
Ah, that's interesting, yeah.
And then, so this is going to keep happening to you because you're going to keep going, but you're the one following the leader.
Right.
Why aren't you the leader in any of these situations? Why aren't you saying to him, hey, I'm getting a weird vibe from you.
Right, right.
I don't want to go out with someone who doesn't want to go out with me. Are we cool? Like, you could have texted that before you went on that date.
Before the beheading date.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And the other thing is then it becomes very contractual.
Right, right.
So then you go to her text. She says, we're not meeting tomorrow. And then he writes, I don't think, save yourself the disappointment. He's trying to, like, get in front. Of like, I'll go out with you if I'm not a dick for going out with you.
Exactly.
You know, I'll fuck you and not be with you if you think that's cool.
Right. And I'm gonna get you to confirm that right now in text. Yeah.
And then she wrote, why would I be disappointed? You know why you'd be disappointed because he only wants to fuck. If you don't, and then she's like, well, if you want back in, you got to go to the beginning of the video game, and it's like. Which I do agree with that advice as far as, like, if someone wants to redate you, they've got to retry and date you. But no one wants to fuck someone, you know, like, at this point, leave this situation.
Right, right.
No one wants to fuck someone that there's no illusion with.
Right.
This guy, you take all the illusion out of your dating, so that's why you're dealing with people that keep it in illusion as truth.
So, right.
Like, she's, why do we keep, he should have said he just wanted casual in the beginning. No, because you kept asking questions for answers he couldn't really give.
Right, right. That said, I'm still proud of her.
I am proud of her.
For saying, okay, then.
I'm proud of her, but
I'm going to go have fun, too.
I'm proud of her, but at the same time, let's say the scenario was, he writes back, yeah, I don't mind. I'll fuck you while other guys fuck you.
Right.
You gonna go out with someone that like that you like didn't want to be with you at all? Like, you don't want that.
Right, what kind of thing?
You don't want no upside opportunity.
What kind of
a fun relationship is that? Like, you're not just some napkin for him to come into.
Oh,
right? Like, I know that's like a very harsh way to put it.
But you're right.
I've done that where it's like you've dated someone, you get to a certain point, then you slide down the mountain, and then it's like,
right.
I guess we'll try again, but without
now
any
what?
Chance of it really happening. You need, for any relationship, there has to be delusion.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's like, you and your girlfriend just moved in.
Yeah.
You said it happened quick.
Yep.
Anyone could look at that and go, that quick?
Right.
What's going on? But you're going, no, it's like working. Like, right. And there's, not, I'm not saying you're wrong. I think it's a logical conclusion that has a little delusion to it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like,
no, you gotta,
the delusional part is, 50% of couples don't work out.
Right.
And you're going, no, but we're the one that are not.
Right, we're going to be, exactly.
Exactly.
Right? No, so, I think that's life. You have to just have a little bit of,
with anything.
Otherwise, you can't get out of bed in the morning.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to be delusional enough to think that the day is going to go well.
It's going
to
go well.
Yeah. So I think when you lose the delusion of romanticism.
Yeah.
You know, stop wasting your time. And I think she's wasting her a lot of time putting guys through tests for answers she already knows the question.
Well,
she knows the answers already before asking
like
the question.
Like you said, she's sort of letting things happen to her instead of controlling,
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're sponsor people. ZipRecruiter. Ooh, I love ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. I will say this, personal experience-wise, I mean, I don't have a lot of personal experience in this, but I know for this podcast that we're all doing, finding the right people to be here, Shelby on the ones and twos, finding guests to come on, Fanny in the back office, you know, bringing in these ads, all these people that, you know, that help make this podcast happen. If I lost anybody, it'd be impossible to find similar people to recreate that magic.
Devastating.
And that's the thing. When you're looking for, you know, people to help you with something, you want to find candidates quickly so you can review them and get the work started. ZipRecruiter can find you with 4 to 5 within a day. You know why that happens? Because people need to hire people. People need help. And ZipRecruiter is the way to find that. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. JTRAIN. ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So go get at that. Very excited about our guest, Michael Somerville. Go get the album, Not Model Hot. It is on all streaming platforms. Breast reduction.
Oh, let's talk.
Love it. Jared, Feather. I'm a 23-year-old single lady, and I recently decided to undergo a breast reduction. Whew. Love it. Good for you. Feel better in your own body. I got it on, she gives the date, very recently. So I'm still deep in the recovery zone. Yeah, that takes like a year, I think.
Is that right?
It's complicated.
It's complicated, right? Like a year to know what your body is going to like look. It takes a long time.
Wow.
But good for her. Good for doing it. In August, I'm moving to a small town, Oregon, to Chicago to start my new life and career. I will be dating more as it's been super easy for me in Oregon thus far. And I'll begin dating more as it hasn't been super easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hasn't been. In Oregon thus far, not outdoorsy. Once my cute little boobs are healed, should I disclose that I've had... I like that she's already got names, descriptions. Should I disclose that I've had breast reduction to dudes? I definitely wouldn't in a dating scenario, but should I in a sexual scenario? They will have scars on them, but my mom got one, and they're honestly barely... noticeable. What are your thoughts on this? Thanks in advance. I think you're the shit. Attached a picture for Classic Shelb to do a celeb lookalike. She's very cute. She's got that Oregon look to her.
She does, right?
Right?
She's not outdoorsy.
Not outdoorsy. It looks like, you know, she would be in a drama about teens.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Looks Dawson's like Creek. Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone.
Wow. Shelby.
That was a lot more current than my Dawson's Creek.
Classic Shelb nails another one. Hit that button, Shelby. She's very cute. I know very personally people who have gotten breast reduction surgery. That is for them to reveal and them to, you know, and I know that they've done it to feel more comfortable.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. You know, have you ever been with someone who's had breast reduction surgery?
Not that they've told me, no.
I have, and sometimes, you know, I have multiple times.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. It's
is actually, that like a website or something?
Guess it's this. I have multiple times, and sometimes they'll, you know, the scars, they'll reference them. But I agree with her. I don't think it's a thing. Date talk. Yeah. I think the reason you're on the date is because now you feel comfortable in your own body.
Yeah.
So I think that's like an important thing to remember, is that the breast reduction is making you a better version of yourself,
right,
a more comfortable version. If I was on a date and I had just lost 10 pounds, I'd go, I wouldn't have to reveal that I lost 10 pounds.
Well, exactly, yeah.
But I'm on the date because I lost the 10 pounds.
That's exactly right.
And that's not to say, even if there's someone out there with bigger breasts that doesn't get rid of, I'm saying you're on a date because you didn't get the surgery. It's the same both ways.
Yeah.
So I think, like, you know, whatever makes you feel best, if then when you take your shirt off and you want to let the person know, oh, these are from, because I actually got, good to know. At that point, if it's me in the bed, I'm just happy to be in the bed.
You happy to be there, yeah. Happy.
I don't care what's going on.
And there's breasts. This is a fun, this is a good day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I don't think you owe anyone anything other than, you know, if you have some sort of STD or something, obviously, like health reasons, anything that
different
would affect
story.
Their health. But yeah, no, something like that.
Personal thing, your business.
And
just know that no guy gets in the bed, no mature man gets in the bed and goes, and it's like, you know, like you're in the bed because you were so attracted out of the bed.
Right. Yeah. No, this is all good stuff.
All good stuff. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I love this one because you're an older man yourself.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
I'm right around this age. Dating at 34 sucks balls.
Ah, boy.
Well, at least she's got a good attitude. Hello. So I'm writing for a friend, and I feel like she, among other women, deal with some of the same issues time and time again. If I didn't rekindle with my high school sweetheart, I'd be in the same fucking position. So I'd also like the male perspective on this. Do you give a guy a second chance after he either ghosted or told you he had feelings for someone else? My ex-girlfriend, is this a dude? No, it's a girl. Example. Let me read this again because I've really fucked it up. If I didn't rekindle with my high school sweetheart, I'd be in the same fucking position, so I'd like the male perspective on this. Do you give a guy a second chance after he either ghosted or told you he had feelings for someone else? Example, my girlfriend got a text from a dude who she had felt a really good connection with, explaining that he's sorry, but he met someone else and felt he had a better connection with her and he'd like to remain friends. Then a few weeks later, he texts her saying he still has feelings for my friend and he's still like a chance to hang out. Should my friend allow him back into her life, or should she slap him in the face with a whale's dick and move on?
Is there an in-between?
Maybe not use the whale's dick.
Yeah.
What do you think? Any thoughts?
My initial response, you know, I used to do the dating advice for Glamour.
Of course.
And every time we got something like that, I always, if some person moved on, they moved on for a reason. That was always my thinking. And
I'm with you.
Yeah. And they you know, it wasn't a mutual this and that. It was one person said, not you, someone else. That, to me, is a bad sign, and I used to have a rule, you don't go back. That said,
yeah,
you know, in this day and age, you never know circumstances. It doesn't mean you can't perhaps hear the person out.
But I'm with you on the. I'm with you. It's yeah. It's more layered. I agree with you that the one of the harder things to do is to tell someone that you like them, but not enough to marry them.
Yeah,
that is a very. Let's give credibility to the hike that was climbed to get them to break up with you.
Yeah.
So, but to come back to you isn't that hard.
Absolutely.
It's not as hard to come back to you as it is to dump you. It
takes a bottle of wine to come back.
Game over. Absolutely. Yeah, a couple sips of wine.
A lonely night on a Friday.
Yeah. Hey, I've been thinking about it. You know, and it's so let's realize that one is way tougher than the other. Yeah. So give that the credibility that it deserves. I do agree with you that someone could, but I don't, I do agree, someone could come back, go, you know, I've been this one that, but they have to do work to get back to the point that you guys left off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So like where the girls like the last girl who got the text where it's like, you could start at the beginning with the rest of the guys I'm vetting. You have to expect that in a different way.
Yeah.
I think these are two very similar scenarios, but very different expectations.
Yeah.
You have to have a guy come back to you and go, let's go on a date. Let's start at number one.
Absolutely.
He's got to put effort in. You can't just end and then start right where you left off.
Right.
That's kind of what the last girl was saying, where it's like, yeah, if you want to, like, you go from day one and, you know, it's like, yeah, right. You got to go from day one. But we're also living with the delusion.
Right.
You
know, like, right, exactly.
You have to have delusion re-enter the picture with him trying. Because I've been that guy that's texted, hey, I think we should still hang out. And it's like, It was loneliness. It wasn't about the person.
Yep.
It was the feeling of that there's no one else out there. And not, and also, especially when someone does it 2 weeks later.
Yep, yep.
They didn't even try.
Yeah, exactly.
So all
Something else fizzled out.
This was a comeback on the basis of laziness.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing you want.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, no, they didn't go off explore something else and say, you know what, I overlooked something in that person. A couple weeks later, whatever they were doing failed.
This is the lazy man's way of not, you know, of keeping their balls not full of cum.
Yeah, I agree with that.
J-Train.
Now, can I just say something? For the 30 and over crowd, something that I've found, my girlfriend is in her 30s. I have hit my 40s, and I gotta say, man, there's a real value in, you know yourself better as you get older. You know what you like, what you're willing to put up with.
Yeah.
You know what you're interested in another person and your own foibles.
I feel that way very much so.
Yeah.
And it goes both ways. You know yourself better, so you're also a little more closed off, which is
true.
Tough.
Absolutely.
Because you're like, well, I do these, like you said, you're like, I'm doing comedy. I do it all the time.
Right.
And then it's like, then it takes you a minute to go, okay, well, there are these things I need to maybe, like, you know, yeah. Take
tweak on my
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Help me not be a shitty girlfriend, JTrain.
Uh-oh.
This is a young one.
It's a great subject.
Okay, so my boyfriend is 22 and I'm 21. We both graduated from college in May, and now I'm in PA school getting a master's degree, and he's in insurance sales. We've been dating for 2 years, and I love him, but we are very different. I'm successful at school and more introverted, while he's always struggled with school because of ADHD and dyslexia, but he's very outgoing and found a passion and success with sales because of his personality and charm. He's working on studying to pass an exam to get some kind of insurance sales license. My biggest issue is that he complains a lot to me about studying for this one exam, and he has already failed it twice. I've taken that exam. I didn't fail it twice. It's not that hard, but he's got, you know, if he's good at personality stuff and not as good at school, this would be, it is one of those things you do have to buckle down.
Right.
I took those, I sold insurance. So
okay.
It is the tests to sell insurance are just, it's just repeating. It's just like you have to sit down for hours and do it. But if you don't do it,
You're
not going to pass the test.
You can't smile your way through it.
No. I don't want to be insensitive, but my whole life currently is studying medicine, and he just needs to pass this one-time exam. I rarely complain to him because I am passionate about healthcare and willing to put in the work to achieve my dreams, so I don't get why he can't do the same for this one exam. It also kind of turnoff for me that he can't just be an adult and put the work in to pass the exam, which is making me feel guilty for feeling this way. No, I'm with you. And you already let him off the hook for dyslexia and ADHD.
Yeah.
So he's probably leaning on that crutch too. But yeah. I do understand, like, those are problems, and I don't deal with them, that someone might.
Yeah.
But he's had to deal with them his whole life. He should have maneuvers in place.
Absolutely.
Or
yeah.
medicine or whatever it is at this
point.
Yeah,
I'm not a doctor, but exactly. You got this far.
No one wants a whiny boyfriend making excuses why he can't pass his exam. He wants to help. He wants me to help him study, but hanging out with him is the only free time I get from school, and studying is the last thing I want to do with my break, is more learning. Am I being a bitch and not a girlfriend, or does he need to grow up and just put the work in to pass the exam? Any advice would be appreciated. I love this email. Yeah. I at first, when I see 22 and 21, I'm like, how could this relate to anyone? This is very relatable to Absolutely. Anyone of any age.
Absolutely.
You want someone, first of all, what she's finding out is that when you get out of college, you value your time.
Absolutely.
She's saying, I'm not fucking studying anymore when I get free time.
Right.
And she is absolutely 100% correct.
Yeah, she deserves a boyfriend. She's got all the time. She wants a boyfriend.
And what do you think? Anything?
I think you're exactly right on. I think that, you know, she it sounds like he wants her to, like, almost mother him or something, or somehow come do this with me, get me through this thing. And as you want to be attracted to your partner in many ways, and this is one of them. You want a guy to step up.
Don't start losing weight until your pants stop fitting.
Right.
So he needs the pants to stop fitting.
That's exactly.
You need to stop. Anytime he complains about it, that's life.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, welcome.
You're not there to help him study. You're not his mom. You're not his tutor. You need to move away less than helping him, because helping him is what people have probably done for him his whole life.
Right. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he wants her to step in and somehow tutor or something. Like,
yeah.
No, she deserves a relationship, and she's got an hour to spend.
And she writes, but he's been very outgoing and has found a passion and success with sales because of his personality and charm. Let me tell you this right now.
Yeah.
He's got zero success. You can't sell insurance unless you have the license. So let me tell you something. Stop living in the lie he's created. He graduated college. He sold $0 worth of insurance. He's had zero success. He's got a fine personality that hasn't done him shit except fail him a test a couple times.
Right.
That's real talk.
Right.
Because, you know, I know these people that, you know, they go there. Thanks, crowd. But this happens a lot.
You woke him up out there.
But this happens a lot, where there are these certain people who get, like, you know, they get this reputation.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the street smart guy.
Yeah.
Never did well in school, but this guy, hilarious and street smart.
Right,
and then when it push comes to shove, you already fucked up. You now you're still leaning on this. She even wrote, he's successful. No.
Yeah.
He is unsuccessful.
Yeah.
I've been there.
He's got a personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can talk to a person.
That'll get you good so far. Yeah.
So what you need to let him know is that you're not buying the bullshit anymore.
Right.
You don't believe. And maybe this ends the relationship. Like, yeah. I and I'm not putting that out of the question, because you're young.
Right.
And maybe you're developing taste and saying, no, I want someone who wants to work hard,
right,
to be able to spend free time with me.
And that, I think, is actually a great point. It's a bigger picture thing to me, that this is a symbolic. I mean, this is,
And this is your first chance in life to see that.
Exactly. You're witnessing this person's behavior. I dated somebody who was wanted desperately to write for television. It's all she came to New York for. And then she never really put the work in, never put the time there. And I can't tell you how unattractive I found that. I thought it was so attractive. She had a goal and came to do it and then never really did it and talked about it.
And then you have to hear the lies, and you have to, like, and you know, the worst thing that can happen to someone in a relationship is that they found someone else to believe their lies.
Oh, yeah. And then it's just,
and there's just two people.
See, at the end of
bitter
the
bar. At the world,
yep.
Angry that it didn't work out for them. The real people that are good to you are the ones that don't lie to you, the ones that say to you, yeah, you say you want it to be better, but you haven't done anything to make this
doing
better.
Anything. That's exactly right.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I love having Mike here, because we can really bang through a few of these, okay? At Mike or Somerville.
I miss him, man.
On Instagram.
Him.
Let's get a... I mean, we have so many here.
I love the subjects that they write, too.
Forever Bachelor? I'm in my mid-20s. Recently started dating a guy who's in his late 30s. I'm really starting to like this guy, and things have certainly started to become serious quickly. Is there a world where someone late 30s is taking dating someone much younger seriously? He's only been in one long-term relationship, and everything else has lasted around 8 months for him. He's successful, good-looking, and has admitted to being a party playboy type, but says he is done with that lifestyle now. I live alone, have a good career, and have several long-term relationships, so I would classify myself as a standard early 20s type, but all that being said, I don't want to get played by someone who may just be forever a bachelor. Thanks for reading. Love the podcast. I love this email. What do
that's
you think?
That's great. Yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, that's tricky. You don't know. The guy, I mean, is he just saying the same thing he always says, or is he truly come to terms and wants something different? That's hard to read.
I hate the... has admitted to... Here's the thing I don't buy.
Oh.
I was a party playboy, but that life has left me behind.
That's not how
life works, okay? This guy likes to party, and he might like to party with a girlfriend now and then also be in a relationship. You never really, like, the people are what they is.
Right.
And if you're meeting a guy who you met at a bar, who was fun and outgoing,
right,
and good looking and successful,
which means he has options.
Yes, and it also means that's the type of guy you're dating,
right,
and that's okay.
Right,
that guy can have a girlfriend. That guy can get married. That guy can have kids. But that's that guy's also going to be the one that says, "Let's have a barbecue and invite everyone over."
Yes.
That's the same guy that's going to go, "Let's go out. It's Wednesday night. I want to go out." This is the type,
That's a great point. Yeah.
It's just him with a girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's still who he is.
Exactly. Yeah. So my point to her is, yes, he can have a girlfriend. Yes, he can be long term. Don't think that you don't know what being treated right feels like because you're younger. You know what you want out of a relationship. He can do those things. So him saying, "Well, I didn't know. I'm used to the party playboy. I'm getting used to it." No. He knows how to ask you out. He knows how to take you to dinner. He knows what the steps are.
Yeah.
And he should want, if he doesn't take them, you have to say to yourself, "Hey, I get that this is going." So you have to be a little bit more judgmental of the actual effort that he's putting in.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a person. You deserve to be treated the way you want.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Sometimes when you're the younger one, I could see you going, "Is this how it goes?"
Right. He's rolling over a bit, going, "He's the one in charge." And yeah.
No, he's 30. He's late 30s, but he also knows how to take a girl on a date.
Right.
Knows how to do dinner.
Right.
Knows how to say, "Hey," knows what getting closer is versus not getting closer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. One hit wonder. Love J Train and you up. Have been to your stand up shows. Awesome. Recently, I started hooking up again after a 3 year break. Recently, I've started hooking up again after a 3 year break. That's weird to just take a break from hookup.
With the same dude, she's saying.
I'm 25, recently moved to NYC. I'm having a great time. The last guy I met out at a day drink in Brooklyn, I seemed to really connect with and went home with him that night. He had asked for my number before we even left the bar and didn't push me to come back at all. We just connected so well that it seemed inevitable. That's great. I stayed the night and didn't leave until noon the next day. He kissed me when I left, and I told him to text me later. Shocker, he didn't. I decided to text him 2 days later and ask him how his week's going. After a couple texts, I was going to ask him to get drinks on Thursday, but he never answered my last text. I know you say to text when you have something to say, so I was going to keep it short before I asked. We had only exchanged 2 texts each day before he ghosted. The sex was great. We seemed to connect. So what gives? Is it a turnoff for guys if you go home with them right away? Is it a lack of chase that turns them off? Should I have cut to the chase and skipped the pleasantries even though we've only exchanged 2 texts? Any insight would be appreciated. Thanks so much. P.S. She wants a celebrity lookalike from Classic Shelb. Let's bring in the righty. Let's see what she's... So what do you think? Do you have any... That is not her. She didn't give it.
I hope that's not her.
Here she is. Yeah. Very cute. Yeah. You have a celebrity. Mrs. Somerville, do you have any ideas on if she went home to... What did she do wrong? Anything?
Man, that's a... You know, I feel like this is one of those ball in your court kind of things. This is a tough one. A guy like that could have any number of things going on, from having a girlfriend to, you know...
Here's the thing. What I'll say to her, I'm not going to tell... You should only have sex when you feel right having sex. You have to figure out your relationship with sex.
Right.
So I think everyone has their own relationship with sex. You, Michael Somerville, might feel that when he has sex with a woman, he wants to know that he could be with her.
I cry a lot. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So Shelby might be one of those playboys that can have sex and really... To him, he's a shower away from having sex with the next hot 20-something that comes in. I've seen how Shelby operates, right?
Mm-hmm. And she looks like this is specific.
Okay. We love a specific look-alike. Who does she look like?
The Hispanic comedian from the Mad TV reboot.
Okay, we need a name. Cristela Alonso?
No, she's younger.
Can you look that up while we're jabbing on this one? We need a name so the people at home can look at it. That is a deep cut. She's very cute. What do you...
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you...
But I'm saying, like, once you know your relationship with sex, then you use that... That now that's your...
Your framework, your setup, your mentality.
You go in knowing, I don't do well when I meet someone and I have sex right away.
Right.
This guy, who she met...
Right.
Was cool with... And she said it felt right. It vibed. It was inevitable.
Right.
I mean, he felt that way too. I wouldn't take it so personally.
Yeah.
I don't think he had sex with you and goes, oh, that was so bad. I need to. Like,
exactly.
If you thought it was good, he thought it was good. We're all 10% away from each other.
Absolutely.
You knew. You're not, you're in touch enough to know that the vibe was good for the sexual experience.
Right.
So we're not doubting that. What I'm saying is, I've never heard a guy walk away from and go, well, fuck that. I can't believe she fucked me on the first date. Well, fuck, we could never end up together. I hear that very little, and even smaller amount in New York City. You're not gonna
absolutely.
Hear that.
That said, someone who will go home with someone on a first night and have sex is someone who is probably wired to say that's all it's going to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, and someone who values it, that will sleep with a stranger.
Yeah,
will. Treat you as if a stranger.
Exactly.
And I don't think there's, like, you know, a difference. I think, like, what you found out is that this guy doesn't connect sex to interpersonal relationships as much as you do.
Exactly, exactly.
And here's the other thing I'll say to her email. Do we have a lookalike?
Michelle Ortiz.
We're going to look up Michelle Ortiz. Hold on.
I think I did a show with her when said reboot was premiering.
You did?
Not, you know, I wasn't on it. Produce.
Oh, the,
podcast.
Oh, she was on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Mad TV.
A podcast.
Shelby, classic Shelby nails another one.
Wow, that's a good call.
It's pretty damn good.
That is impressive, yeah.
It's impressive. It's also, you know, very nice. Both cute girls. Yeah. I'm just saying, the other thing I want to dig into on her email.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say.
What's that?
The 3 years?
Oh.
Oh, I was going to say, that to me is the curious part. Like, that's a
she
strange...
She went on a three-year break, and then all of a sudden she's for one night having sex.
Very odd in detail.
But you know what that detail is good for? This is why she's wondering, what's my relationship with sex?
Yeah.
What's my, you know, what? How does my mind connect to my body in this thing?
Well, and it's why, like, that 3 years? How? What reason? What brought you back?
I you got to look into that.
Yeah.
And what I'll say to her, and this is just something I see in a lot of emails from women who are like, we slept together, now I want to know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
They put in these details that don't matter at all, that they're putting in because they think they matter.
I think it matters.
She wrote, I stayed the night, didn't leave till noon.
Yeah.
That's one detail.
Yeah.
He kissed me when I left.
Yeah.
Another detail.
Pointless.
I told him to text me later. All of those things, this is what they do. But I stayed till noon.
Right.
We talked.
Right.
And then he kissed me.
Yeah.
What? Women expect men who they've slept with that don't want relationships to treat them like dog shit.
Yeah.
And it's not how it goes.
Yeah.
We're humans too. No guy's going to wake up next to you and go, ugh, get out of here.
Get out.
just because they don't want a relationship.
6 a.m., get out.
Because they said, hey, do you want breakfast? Do you want me to give you a ride home?
Right.
That's just niceties that you would do for an aunt that came over.
Exactly. And not necessarily don't fake or meanly.
Not fake.
Yeah, it was
not
a nice,
exactly.
Not throwing you out. It was a nice night.
Being a gentleman does not mean that you want to be in a relationship or not.
Exactly.
It doesn't.
That's a great point.
And it's,
I stayed till noon does not mean you're dating.
And to him, he goes, we had consent. It was she even wrote in the email, inevitable, great vibe.
Right.
And to him, he's going, I have a relation with sex where we can do that and I can be nice and cordial and drive her home and say goodbye and kiss her on the cheek.
Done.
And then never see her
Here's
again.
Here's a bagel. Yeah.
Yeah. Your bag's waiting for you. It's like a Holiday Inn Express. Got a breakfast waiting for you on the way out. Michael Somerville, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. Great to be back.
It's great to have you. So happy you're in the city a lot more. Go and stream his album, Not Model Hot. It's on iTunes and Apple Music. Whatever you find an album, Pandora,
it's there.
Spotify, hit that little thumbs up button and you're paying Michael Somerville directly. It really is. And I don't think people know that enough.
I think you're right. Yeah, they don't realize it really. Yeah. The follows, the this, all that stuff. Yeah.
It's so helpful.
It all counts.
I had some girl, she was like, I might have talked about this on this podcast, where she was just like, oh, I just like go to your account. I was like, mm-hmm. I was like, I noticed she was like interacting with me a lot on Instagram. She's like, I was like, and then I looked and it didn't say follow back. So right. It was like, she's not following. I go, hey, you don't follow. And she goes, well, I just check in with this on days that, you know, every right. now and again. I'm like, well, so you're like, you're jumping the turnstile.
Yeah.
You know, I could make my account private and then you'd have, I don't really necessarily want to do that.
Right.
And I know I sound like I'm a penny pitching asshole.
No, it's.
But this is the world we've created and the one we live in.
Absolutely.
So,
no, that's.
It's always nice when people get involved.
And we appreciate it.
So, Michael Somerville, great to have you. Such a fantastic guest. Great guy. Hilarious. Shelby, thank you for popping in.
Thanks for having me.
At Classic Shelb on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. I'm Jared Fried. We got through a lot of emails this week. I'm so happy to have you guys as listeners and be involved with this show. I need you to do me a favor. JaredFried.com. I'm in Seattle tonight and tomorrow. San Francisco next weekend. And then I'm coming around the country with Michelle Wolf. I'm going to be in London with her. You can go to her calendar for that. And then D.C., if you're listening right now, I think there's like 4 tickets left for the show I'm doing in D.C. in August. Get involved with that. Also, Sacramento and Chicago. Those are all on the calendar. So if you're this deep in the podcast, I got to assume you're a fan and you're enjoying the show. And if you're in those areas, bring a crew, assemble the group chat. We'll be back next episode. Boom.